Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Tonight we'd like to talk about a character in the Christmas story, perhaps a character that we don't often hear about. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, I'll begin to read. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Tonight I'd like to briefly look at this character in the Christmas story, this character by the name of Joseph. Joseph, well known, but not so well known. And it seems as though he is the least talked about or written about in this powerful story of God humbling himself to robe himself in flesh. Joseph was not Jesus' earthly or physical father, yet he took on himself a great task and a responsibility of sheltering the God in flesh. We find the words written of Mary, the shepherds, the wise men, even wicked Herod is recorded. But to the best of my recollection and study, we only find one thing that Joseph said in Scripture. Only one thing. And I might take you back to our passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 1, when the Bible says in verse 21, when the angel of the Lord in verse 20 appeared to Joseph in a dream, he mentions for him to do something. And he says in verse 21, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. That was one thing that he was tasked to do. Then you go down to verse 25. The Bible says, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name. And this is the only place that we have recorded where he had mentioned something. He said, that's Jesus right there. This is Jesus. So what a wonderful thing. If it were me, I think if I were recorded as having only said one word, that would be a wonderful word to have been recorded to have said. Verse 19 shows us we'll look at a couple things about this character Joseph, but in verse 19 we find where the Bible says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. We have the Bible listing him as a just man. The word just here is used to describe someone whose deeds or feelings or thoughts are lockstep in line with the will of God in their life. Not perfect, but just, righteous, just because he loved what was right and correct. How do we know that? He loved what was right because both he and Mary were espoused. And in that culture, what that meant was they were promised, or in our culture, we would say engaged to each other. They called that the kedushin. It was the first part of this marriage, not ceremony, but this marriage commitment one to another. And so for 1 year, they were promised to each other. For 1 year, they were engaged to each other until the ceremony. And it had another name. And I think it's named proper in that language. It's called the huppah. So that's when the party is getting on, when they finally get to the end of that year. And during the engagement or the kedushin, parents would arrange the contract of marriage where the father of the bride would pay the father of the groom the price of the bride. This price or this dowry was a guarantee in case the groom was unsatisfied with his prospective wife and he sought out a divorce. Because divorce was allowed under their culture in that first year. Now, they still had not known each other. They were just promised to each other, and that's where that was allowed. So the couple was considered legally married as soon as the contract was drawn up. But they had to wait 1 full year for the huppah. This 1 year period of time was a test of integrity for both prospective bride and prospective groom. Would it be nice that that were the same today? Amen. Then the problem presents itself. Mary becomes pregnant with a child. Something that had never taken place before or since that day. She is pregnant with a child. And this child is no normal child. This pregnancy is not a normal pregnancy. The Bible says Mary was espoused to Joseph, and before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So, Joseph has a couple options, three options to be exact. The law says that he can publicly humiliate her for what took place, for what was in this case up until now. Now, we have the story. We read, we see what happened. We know the end of the story. At that time, they did not know this. This was evidence of wrongdoing in their eyes. So he can legally, publicly humiliate her. He had another option. He could have her stoned. You say, well, that's a little rough. Well, that was the law of the day. And then he had a third option. He could quietly put her away. Or we would understand it as put her aside. And he would no longer be bound to that contract. We find here that he was a just man in that he loved what was right or correct. By going through this lengthy procedure, we find in the very beginning, by going into this contract, by going into this engagement year, he wanted to do what's right. They both wanted to do what's right. He loved what was right and correct. We also find that he was just because we find in this story, this beautiful story, not only is it a beautiful story because this is when God enters the world to make payment of sin for mankind. Only someone that is perfect could come and pay the price for yours and my sin. But we find in this beautiful story as well that Joseph loved an individual who by all appearances had done wrong. He loved someone who by all appearances merited to be stoned. and he loved her instead. And we also find at the end of the story that he wanted to do right by this individual who apparently had done wrong. So he was a just man. Number two, he was sensitive to the Spirit of God. Verse 20 says, but while he thought on these things, he was contemplating, he was thinking, he was mulling it over, he was trying to decide what he was going to do. While this was taking place, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Again, you say, well, there you go. There you go, Joseph. There's your answer to something that has never happened before, to something that even now has never happened since, to something that we now know the story because we have the complete Word of God. But at this time, he did not have what we have. He could not have read everything that we read. He could not quite have grasped the enormity of everything that was going on. He pondered that, and the Holy Spirit of God says, what is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. He was sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God that appears to him in a dream. We do not know if Mary shared with him about her visit from Gabriel. We don't have that recorded. But we do know that he cared about her even when he was tempted to quietly put her away. And the way he responds to angelic revelation shows what kind of guy he was. He listens to God. He believes what God tells him. No one else would believe him, but he trusted what God said. How many times have you been in that situation yourself where you felt impressed of the Holy Spirit to do something? Nobody else would believe when you said what you felt the Holy Spirit of God impressed you to do. Well, this man, Joseph, this just man, Joseph, this sensitive man to the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to follow through. I believe him and I trust what God says. May I remind us tonight that a man of faith, a woman of faith, when it made no sense, obeys God. Obeys God. And may I also remind us of the fact that in your life and in mine, if it hasn't already happened, it will happen in your life. There will come a time when God will ask you to do something, when God will ask you to take a certain path, to take a certain direction in your life, in your family, in your business, in whatever it is that He's tasked you to do. We need to listen to God. We need to believe what He says. And then we need to obey as Joseph obeyed. The greatest evidence of faith on this planet Earth is obedience. Obedience. So he was a just man. He loved what was right. He loved those who had done wrong. He wanted to do the right thing. He wanted to be right with those around him that had done wrong. We know that he was a sensitive man, sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God because he listens to God, he believes God, he obeys God, he acts by faith on what he knows to be God's truth. And then number three, he was a responsible man. Take your Bible, if you would, with me to Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13, where we find, the Bible says, "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream." Here's another appearance in another dream saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son." He was a responsible man. A responsible man. We also see in verse 19 of the same chapter, when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt again, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead, which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene." Again, listening, being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, listening and obeying and following through by faith. But he was a responsible man in that he protects his family. I'll not take the time this evening, but if you'll read chapter 2, verses 1 through 2 or through 12, you'll see where he protects this child and this wife of his now, that he has, and the responsibility in obeying God and the protecting of one's family. We find that those two, both the responsibility in obeying God and the protecting of one's family, they're directly related. Directly related. We also find that he provides for his family. We know by Scripture that he was a carpenter, and that pleases God. Now it's easy to overlook this simple carpenter whose responsibility it was to care for and protect the Son of God and God the Son. But it was this carpenter who worked so that Jesus could eat. He worked so that Jesus could be clothed. He worked so that he could be protected from those who wished him harm. This quiet guy of a good character, who wasn't even this young man's earthly father, he teaches Jesus how to hammer a nail, how to cut wood, how to build a house. Joseph taught the law of God to the God who wrote the law. He showed the one who created the world how beautiful the world was that was created by this little boy. It's obvious that men and women of a quiet, good character matter a great deal to God. Among them are some of you this evening. You may not be very open and flamboyant, and you may not be an individual of much words, but in this story, in this Christmas story, nestled in God coming to earth to bring salvation, we find a glimpse in the life of a character by the name of Joseph. It wasn't a big splash on planet Earth, but he had a very important job to do, and he did it well. He did it well. According to Scripture, he wasn't a man of a lot of words, but boy, did he take care of a lot of things that he was responsible for. So the question becomes this evening, what task has God given you? What task has God given you? We know in Scripture, to each and every one of us who know Christ as our personal Savior, that we have the righteousness of God in our lives from the moment of salvation. But we know by this example here that we can live a righteous life with a quiet character and be men and women like Joseph. What have you been tasked to do in your life? It doesn't matter that you're not on a stage. It doesn't matter that you have a lot of following. It doesn't matter that you haven't made a big splash in this world. But if you are sensitive to the Holy Spirit's working in your life, you're sensitive to that still small voice, you listen, and then you follow through with what God has for you. That is enough. What if Joseph had not obeyed what God had asked him to do? This story might have ended a little different. But thank God that we have in this story this character of Joseph, a righteous man of a quiet character. If you're listening this evening, perhaps you've not received Christ as your personal Savior. I would recommend to you tonight, the whole reason that we have this story, the whole reason that we celebrate this season is because you and I, we were born with a sinful nature. We were born with a sinful nature because of something that took place back in Genesis when Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. And at that moment that they disobeyed, they were separated from God. From that moment on, every individual born from that moment on was born eternally separated from God. The whole reason we celebrate this season is we celebrate the fact that God chose to humble himself to enter this world the way we read it just a few moments ago, using Mary and Joseph so that you and I don't have to be eternally separated from the God that designed us. Originally, he created man to have a relationship with him. The whole reason we celebrate this season is because we celebrate the fact that God took on flesh so that he could pay the price for yours and my sin so that you and I can restore that relationship with the God of the universe, with the God that loves you, with the God that loved you so much that he sent his only begotten Son to pay the price for your sin. I would ask this evening, don't let another day go by without receiving the gift of eternal life. You say, how is that done? Just realize your need for a Savior. Realize that you're a sinner. As the Bible says, all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And also the Bible says the wages of sin, or the price for yours and my sin, is death, is spiritual death in hell. Just realize that. And then also recognize the fact that what the Bible says is true. He came to die so that we might have life eternal. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you're confessing with your mouth that this Jesus was God. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God the Father raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I would recommend that for you tonight. Pray and ask the Lord, Lord, I believe what your word says. I believe that you are God. I receive you into my heart as my personal Savior. And I would beg you to accept that gift. That would be the best Christmas in your life ever. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to open your word, to catch a glimpse of one of the characters in one of the most known stories in all mankind. Lord, I pray that we would follow this great example of Joseph. We don't have to be flashy. We don't have to be noisy. We don't have to be flamboyant. We can be someone that's a quiet individual, but yet someone whom you choose to use for your honor and your glory. May you use each and every one of us as you use Joseph. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord for that, Brother Dan. Thank you so much. And you hear very few references to Joseph, just in passing, Joseph and Mary. But I've heard so very few messages, and I've never heard one better than that. And what a joy it is just to think about that. Thank God for for the folks like Brother Dan. He's brought our way, bring the word, and what a joy to gather together tonight. So from all of us this evening, we just want to say thank God for you joining with us. And we're thankful for the opportunity just to be here together. And I'd like for us to go out the way that we came in. And that is, Brother Dan, would you mind if you lead us in a way in a manger? Is that too much trouble for... I can even come over and help you. Looky here. I'll give this back to you.
I'll come over here and help you, man.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep.
Have a great night. God bless you. Thank you for joining us.